This is the 2018 State House Podcast from South Dakota Public Broadcasting, brought to you in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and Touchstone Energy Cooperatives. Here's Kara Hetland with today's top legislative news and peer.
Lawmakers received a roughly hour-and-a-half professional development training. The training centered on ethics, code of conduct, and sexual harassment. A national group that advocates for state legislatures gave the presentation. SDPB's Lee Strubinger reports.
Brian Weberg is with the National Conference of State Legislatures. He gave part of the training on recognizing sexual harassment when it occurs. He says nationwide, state houses are refining their policy around sexual harassment. He says one change that many states are implementing are having multiple places to report a complaint or talk about a harassment situation. Those rules already exist in the South Dakota State Capitol. He says the main message was about personal responsibility.
And at least in the sexual harassment part, this sense that there is an opportunity now to make some really important change in our institutions, not just in government, but in the private sector as well, and that we need to grab that opportunity and run with it.
The training comes as a national conversation surrounding sexual harassment and assault is unfolding. State Senator Deb Peters helped organize the ethics and sexual harassment training. She says the most important takeaway from the training was if a person is uncomfortable by your actions, you've done something wrong.
It doesn't matter how you feel if you are giving them a hug. If they did not want the hug, you have just crossed the line. And so that's important to know that people probably don't feel comfortable. You know, it's something that we all have to be aware of. If somebody is not a hugger, you got to be prepared that is not a hugger. Shake their hand, fist bump, do whatever's appropriate for that person. And it's important to know where people's boundaries are, but that's part of the conversation that has to stay alive. So people understand where the comfort levels are, and everybody's going to have a different level of where that's at.
Peter says the training was scheduled months before the stories of two women who experienced harassment and assault during previous sessions in Pierre came to light. The training comes just as a subcommittee in the state Senate is taking a closer look at its sexual harassment rules. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierr.
The House Judiciary Committee has approved a bill adding several violent crimes to a list for parole calculation. Ashley McDonald with the South Dakota Department of Corrections testified in favor of House Bill 1054. She says the bill clarifies one form of assault and makes other revisions based on past legislative sessions.
The crimes that it adds are fluid assault by a jail inmate. Currently, fluid assault by a DOC inmate is considered violent, but not if it's done by a jail inmate. Aggravated criminal battery of an unborn child, that used to be called aggravated assault, but in 2012, the legislature changed it to aggravated battery. Similar to aggravated battery of an infant, used to be called aggravated assault, now it's aggravated battery. And then assaults with intent to cause serious permanent disfigurement. That's a new definition for an assault, felony level assault, that the legislature added last year. So we're seeking to add that to 2415A32.
No opponents testified at the hearing. The Judiciary Committee advances the bill to the full chamber on a 12-0 vote. Members of the House Judiciary Committee also advanced a bill designed to put laws passed by last year's state legislature into South Dakota code. Senator Art Rush of Vermilion sits on the South Dakota Code Commission. Rush says the commission is charged with publishing the state code and making sure laws are correctly inserted into state statute. He says House Bill 1017 prevents any future confusion when it comes to decisions made by lawmakers.
We ask the legislature to approve that codification each year so that as a matter of law, those placements are approved by the legislature and we don't face the arguments that that isn't what the legislature intended to do. So I would urge you to support this bill.
Committee members passed House Bill 1017 on a 12-0 vote. House Judiciary is set to review three bills on Friday. And the House Judiciary Committee will reconsider a bill mandating transfers from parents to public colleges and universities for their child's education cannot be voided in the event of bankruptcy. Guli Erme Costa is general counsel for the South Dakota Board of Regents. He says House Bill 1059 ensures bankruptcy trustees are unable to get funds back from public colleges and universities.
Generally speaking, when an individual files for bankruptcy, the bankruptcy trustee is tasked with increasing the pool of assets available to pay off any creditors. Both nationally and within South Dakota, bankruptcy trustees have attempted to force institutions of higher education to transfer to the trustee any payments made by parents on behalf of their children for higher education expenses by arguing that these payments were fraudulent transfers. Federal law on this topic is still developing in the courts, but some states have passed state laws similar to House Bill 1059 that make it clear that these payments by parents of higher education expenses of their children are not fraudulent transfers and cannot be undone as such.
Representative Kevin Jensen of Canton says bills of this nature have come in front of lawmakers before. He says there needs to be further consideration before moving the measure to the full House.
I'm at this point not comfortable. Last year we heard a bill moving funeral homes up to the front of the list of creditors, taking now education to the front of the list. Every year we'll hear somebody wants to be the front of the list. I really feel like I need more information about why we would be doing this.
Committee members decided on a voice vote to bring the issue up again at a later date when an expert in bankruptcy law is able to testify. South Dakota's House Health and Human Services Committee is advancing a measure that allows counselors and therapists who hold licenses from other states to get a South Dakota license under certain circumstances. Jennifer Stolle is Executive Secretary of the State Board of Examiners for Counselors and Marriage and Family Therapists. Stolle says licensure requirements haven't changed in nearly 30 years. She says the stipulation keeps many otherwise qualified therapists and counselors from working in South Dakota.
It's fairly simple in its brevity, but its impact is to basically say that the state you're coming from has to have the same requirements as South Dakota. And with regard to counselors, before you can be licensed as a counselor in any state, there's a period of supervision. And where we're seeing ourselves get hung up as a board is that the requirements of supervision are not matching up state to state exactly. How many hours you need, what type of hours, who can supervise you, the duration, those things are not the same in many cases.
Stolle says because of those requirements, the Board of Examiners for Counselors and Marriage and Family Therapists had to turn down 14 of 15 out-of-state applicants for South Dakota licenses in an 18-month period. The Health and Human Services Committee unanimously passed House Bill 1040 and will send the measure to the full House. U.S. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos approved South Dakota's plan under the Every Student Succeeds Act this week. The ESSA follows the No Child Left Behind Acts as the federal standard for K-12 education. It allows each state to compile its own education plan so long as it meets certain federal criteria. Abby Javarek is director of the Division of Assessment and Accountability with the state's Department of Education. She says ESSA allows for more individualized work with schools in the state.
Under No Child Left Behind and even under our flexibility waiver, it was very clearly prescribed. You know, there are seven principles and seven buckets of things that you have to do with every school that's identified for improvement, and it doesn't matter what that school looks like. It doesn't matter if it's a school in a big city or a small town or what the composition of students in that school looks like. Like, these are the things that you have to do, and we didn't have a lot of flexibility to really make that our own and work with our schools to identify those things that had the best potential to make life better for their students in the ways that I think we would have liked to. And now we've got some flexibility to do that.
Some tenets of South Dakota's plan include an expanded focus on college and career readiness for high school students and rewards for schools that help English language learners make significant progress. Now that the plan is federal approval, Javarek says the state DOE will begin working with schools to implement the requirements. The plan is available online at doe.sd.gov.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2018 State House Podcast. For additional programming and news, listen to us online at sdpb.org. Be sure to download the free sd.net app on your mobile device for live committee meetings, floor sessions, and daily archives of the people's business and peer. Connect with us on social media by liking us on the SDPB News Facebook page and following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications, the South Dakota Bar Foundation, and Touchstone Energy Cooperatives. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.